What's up, guys? Welcome back to Round 14 Podcast, Episode 25. Tony, 25.
25. It's like a nice anniversary.
It is a nice anniversary. What'd you get me? 23rd.
What do you got? Silver? Is that the way it works?
Yeah. You get silver? I think silver. Silver, just like Tony's hair. Silver fox. Yep, there
you go. You get to have that hair. Look at that.
Yeah. At least you got hair. So. Anyways, how you been?
Good. You doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. And, got some more, round 14 merch on, courtesy of our good buddy, Rick Babcock at RockoBob33. So we've got the round 14 hats available now. So Tony has one. I have one. And, if you guys want one, contact our good buddy at RockoBob33. He'll set you up and see you at the round 14 signs.
Promote the show while you're at the gym or at the grocery store.
Yeah.
People do ask about it. When I wear it to the gym, they ask me about it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And then we've got the road signs. These made for us now. We both have the round 14 road signs. He's doing t-shirts. So huge shout out to our buddy Rick.
Excellent products he gives us. I love him. Love him.
So 25. So
the what's that?
25 episodes. We've had a really good time. We've wide range of subjects, but I thought, I was talking to Tony the other day and we had a great idea that we might do 25 moments in Sly's film career that were, pretty significant, right?
Yeah. The top 25 things that he's done in his career, like you said, that are the stepping stone to his whole, God, now what's he got now? 50, 60 years, whatever he's been in the business. I mean, it's been a long time. I know that it's almost 50 years since Rocky, but obviously he's been doing this long, before Rocky.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, he's got a filmography, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if you'll see the likes of this type anymore. Mm-hmm. Our good friend John Rivoli posted something that Anthony Mackie was talking to a group at a Comic-Con, about Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, it's a great post too. If you guys could go check it out, go to John's, Instagram. Anthony Mackie is saying, back when you used to go see the Stallone action movie,
mm-hmm.
you went to see the Schwarzenegger action movie.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. The lone movie. I'm going to see it.
That's right.
And now he's like, you go see the Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
There is no more action star.
Yeah.
He goes, we promote ourselves to 16-year-olds and other countries. And, they don't go to see Anthony Mackie. Not that he's not a great actor. I'll go see him. Or they don't go to see Robert Downey Jr. They go mm-hmm. to see the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
They go to see the Justice League or whatever it is. And it's so true. It's kind of sad. I don't think we'll see. And of course, you can't really ever say never, can you?
No.
But I don't think we'll see another Sly or Arnold type of action star. Tom Cruise, you could group in with that genre.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see them anymore. I think it's going to be more of the not the actor, but the hero and the comic book and the, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad, but we got to see it. So that's the good part.
Yeah. And you know what? And the beauty of it all is it's all on film, right? So we'll see it forever and newer generations will be introduced to it. And, if there's one thing we both love about the movies, it's there. It's on film. They're never going to
go anywhere. And that is the really cool thing about it in general with any movies. I remember way back when I would watch old movies and, mm-hmm. Now they're really old, but I would watch the Humphrey Bogart or the James Cagney, mm-hmm. The old films.
Sure.
And they're there. They're there forever. One mm-hmm. of my favorite all time movies is It's a Wonderful Life with mm-hmm. Jimmy Stewart. It's never, ever going to go anywhere. It's there in film history. So these movies will be around long after we're gone and helping generations to keep punching and enjoy what he's put up there. So
yeah, that's right.
But so 25, and it was not as easy as you would have thought to put this list together.
No, we could have made this list 50, or we could have made it 75, but people be here all night. So no, you know what? We took 25 that we think that are substantial, and hopefully you guys will agree and leave the leave a comment for us or look us up on the our Instagram page. You can find us on Instagram at Round 14 Podcast. So
at Round 14, here we are.
And Sly follows us. So
yes, he does.
You guys should too. But and we appreciate everybody that does follow us. So, but not kicking it off 25, Tony. It's pretty fresh in our minds, but it's a big deal.
The 25th one should be, and is the Tulsa King.
Mm-hmm.
And for a variety of reasons. I mean, look what he's pulled off at his age. 76 years old. He now has a streaming series on Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, so good. It's doing very well. Not even just amongst the Rocky bubble, as some of us try to call it. He's doing a great job with it. The writing, of course, comes from the successful team over at Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
But he, I think Dwight, the general, Manfredi, is going to be around for a while.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned, like, you know, not even in the Rocky bubble. A friend of mine messaged me the other day who, you know, has seen the Rocky movies and, you know, oh, yeah, Rocky's good, but he's not watching them all the time, or he's not quoting Rocky, or he's not doing anything. And he said, what do you think of the new series with Sly? And I said, oh, it's really good. And he goes, yeah, I think it's one of his better roles he's ever done.
Yeah.
And I'm getting that from a few people that aren't Stallone crazy. They're watching it. And some people that don't like Stallone, but, you know, Stallone isn't their number one guy.
No, I mean, I get
they're, it. They're I saying, they're
where
saying,
you know, with that. This is you know, the series. He did and kind of still does have a stigma about him as the mumbling action star.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be further from the truth if you really followed his career, which we'll get to on a lot of these, these numbers as we move forward. But a lot of them know when they're not a fan of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you mention his name. Oh, yeah. Oh, yo, Adrian. That's all they do. And they don't really look at his full body of work. Never mind the fact that he's been around as long as he has. So.
But then they stumble upon this and they're thinking,
Stallone.
Like, oh, wow. Geez, that's pretty good.
That was Rocky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tulsa King's going to be around for a while. I think that's a great way to break on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And the number 24 on the list, I think, is holding near and dear to Sly's heart for a variety of reasons because of the ongoing battle that he's having about ownership to his creation of Rocky.
Right.
Now he has the Sly Stallone shop.
Sure.
And he can sell and approve all of the products that he wants on there. And
right.
I'm sure, as you know, and I know very well, it can empty your bank account pretty quickly.
Yeah. Look at your hat, right? You got a nice Stallone shop hat on there. Yeah. So
a lot of us have been hitting that the tough wear gloves behind me.
Mm-hmm.
You could a real Stallone fan can go broke on that site. But it's not just Rocky. They have Rambo. They have Cliffhanger. They have Lords of Flatbush. They have it's the Fly Stallone shop, not the Rocky Balboa shop. So, but I do know he puts out an amazing product. I know now John Rivoli is involved in making the figures and the faces and the box covers and whatnot. These are true diehard fans, including Sly himself.
Yeah.
That are making these products for the true diehard fans. So I think it's awesome.
I think it's great, right? I mean, it's like our own version of the Comic-Con, right? So it's the own shop. So anything you can get that's approved by Sly.
Yeah, it's all goes through him. Sometimes it takes a year, 2 years to get this product done, but he gets them done.
Right.
And so moving along to number 23, this gentleman has been in a number one movie every decade for the past 60 years.
Isn't that crazy, eh?
60 years.
Yeah.
70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010, 2020s.
Yeah.
He has been in a number one film. And that's, I mean, come on. Who could put that on their resume?
Well, that's just it, right? So that's what we touched on earlier is this is the – they always say records are meant to be broken. This one might not be, right? So
it'll be a tough sell to get to talk me into why this would be broken. It would be tough.
Yeah.
Because 60 years – I no disrespect to any of these actors out there or any of these up-and-coming actors that are – but I just can't see somebody – That's a long time.
Yeah.
Of putting out quality movies.
Mm-hmm.
Not just being around, there's plenty of actors that are character actors sure. that have been around mm-hmm. since the 60s, the 70s, and mm-hmm. you see them, you know their face. You might not even know their name. But to be a number one movie, a billboard name for that long,
yeah,
that's pretty damn impressive.
No, that's great. That's why we have a 24/7 Stallone channel that I subscribe to. So
that's right.
It's rolling all the time. So
that's right. And the reason why he has done a number one movie for 60 years is because of his fitness and the way he takes care of himself and how he eats and how he exercises and how he looks. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, it's easy. I shouldn't say easy. It's an easier opportunity to look like that when that is your job to look that good. But it still takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of determination and grit, and especially at his age now, mm-hmm. you know, it's getting up and out of bed at 76 years old at 4 o'clock in the morning to go work out.
But that's on him though. Like you said, it's a little bit easier with his lifestyle that, you know, that's sort of his job to.
Sure. He can go to train whenever he wants. He doesn't have to show up.
He created that world though. He created that world from nothing. You got to remember.
Do you know how many people, including myself, I have been involved in the gym since a young age because of him? Mm-hmm. I played sports before Rocky, but I didn't go to a gym and work out with weights or hit a heavy bag or anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's influenced and helped many, many people. He was very involved way back in the 80s, as you can see here with Franco Colombo.
Yep.
Who was a professional bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. But he was on countless muscle and fitness magazine covers.
Right.
He was every time you mentioned Sly, you're eventually talking fitness.
Right.
You're going to mention his physique in Rambo or his physique in Rocky IV or whatever. So, but again, he's 76 years old.
Yeah.
And he looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So whatever he's doing it right.
Good that's right. Yep. It gives us all a bit of motivation to be a little bit better and to keep that body moving forward.
Yeah. And again, bringing up his age and his longevity in this business, number 21, he was nominated and won a Golden Globe Award for Rocky Balboa in 1976 and for playing the same character, Rocky Balboa, in 2006. Mm-hmm. For Creed.
That's right.
Again, 40 years apart, playing the same actor. He's on a very, very short list of people that have done that.
Well, that's a huge deal, right? Like to play the same character that far apart and to be recognized by your peers. That's just huge, right?
Sure.
Like people don't realize how big of an accomplishment, that is. You know, even himself was taken back by that, by the win, right? So, very grateful. So,
and it was amazing. And it goes to show you, if you go back and watch the films, Rocky and Creed, where he won those awards, and really watch his, you could see it's not just a Palooka boxing movie.
No,
it couldn't be more further from the truth. And and his acting chops prove that. They didn't just hand him the award because he's been around long enough.
Yeah. So he
definitely earned it and deserved it.
No, that's right. And one of the things that I think about it on our next list is the fact that he continues to write.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 20 on the list is that he's a writer and he's been a writer. That's what got him to where he is today with writing Rocky. That was the story goes that he was leaving a audition. He said, "Hey, do you know I'm a writer? Would you like to see any of my work?" And they said, "Sure." And if he never stopped and said he was a writer, the studios would have never saw the script for Rocky, and the rest is history. But he still writes. I mean, he posts on his Instagram every now and then pictures of his desk that all of us fans try to dissect.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the microscope out and see what it says.
Yeah. And I love that he still puts it in the notebooks, right? And he puts
it in the notebooks. Oh, yeah. First. You know he's old school. You know he's got spiral notebooks everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's
And awesome. It's got to be, to me, that's got to be, is that not harder than acting, writing?
I would think so myself. Yeah. I mean, I'm neither, so I really can't comment for sure. I would think the writing part, the creation part of it would be harder than a director saying to me, okay, here, you're a broken man. You're on your last leg and you just don't know what you're going to do. So make sure you give me emotion in this scene.
Yeah.
You set it up for me.
Well, that's right. And
the other way is just creating it.
We both have a friend in the Rocky bubble, Stacy, who is a writer, and I bug her all the time, because she's written an amazing script. And I always ask her, you know, did you write today? Did you write again today? Because I always bug her that the first one, you got your whole life, you know, to write your first one, but the second one might be the harder one to write. And, you know, for him to write and continue to write, that's what impresses me the most with him. That a lot of his movies are,
it's just
word for word his movies.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, you know, you look at somebody like Stephen King or James Patterson or these other great authors. It's just a part of them. They're writers. They're storytellers. They're creators. Mm-hmm. He wrote every Rocky. So it's in him. And that's why when he talks about the Rocky prequel, he's not done with the character, but where else could you go? You're at the end of his career.
Yeah.
You're at the end of his life, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's go back to the beginning. And that's the way a creative writer does. Mm-hmm. He doesn't try to, okay, well, forget it. No, let's figure out how to keep it going.
Yeah.
And somebody like him, who brings us to number 19, you knew is inevitable that the way he is and his personality and his perfectionism and his creativity, he was going to get into directing.
Sure.
In which he did with Rocky II and all the other Rockies.
Yeah. This one here from Rocky IV. It was one of my favorite pictures when I was younger, because when I first saw it, I thought, what the hell is he doing holding the camera? Maybe just goofing around. And then when I got a little bit older, I realized, he's directing. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I mean, I did, because you see it written, directed by Sylvester
Stallone. Sure.
But you don't realize, I think, when you're 12.
Yeah. You know
what goes into that. And like, I thought, director, I don't know. Maybe they just give him that title.
Sure.
But
no, you don't realize it then. I mean, he's done he did not do Rocky, obviously. Mm-hmm. John G. Avildsen did. And John G. Avildsen did Rocky V. Mm-hmm. But Sly directed the rest of them, including Balboa, and wrote them all. Mm-hmm. And but directing is again, if he had to have a choice, director or actor, I think he would choose. I think acting would be last on his list. I really do.
I agree. I think writing's the hardest. Directing is probably the most stressful at times. Yeah. Because you got to remember, the directors like him and like Spielberg and these guys that are amazing, they have a vision and they're trying to explain it to you. This is what, you know, and probably I've never been on a movie set, but I imagine sometimes, you know, how many takes and how many.
Well, and also throw in the curveball of being in the movie.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Not even just an extra, not a walk-on, not a secondary, not a co-star.
The lead.
You're the star lead of the movie. I mean, so that's got to be huge stress and difficulty, which leads us to number 18, where he is a producer.
That's right.
He's a one-man movie show. He does it all. He does it all. But again, the acting, we were talking about acting earlier when he got the Golden Globe. Number 17 brought us to Copland.
Right.
And the reason why I bring up the acting part of that, because that's what he was, I don't want to say known for that film, but it wasn't an action movie.
No.
It wasn't an underdog who's going to, you know, box the giant guy and win movie.
Yeah.
He was a heavy set police officer who could not make the New York Police Department because of a hearing issue, and his acting chops went to work. I mean, when you're put on a set with Robert De Niro and Ray Liotta and Harvey Keitel, and I guess you really got to pick up your acting chops and show them what you got. And he did.
He didn't. He certainly didn't look anywhere out of place in that movie at all.
No.
Right.
It was very odd seeing him that JP was in. That was weird.
I think that was one of the, I can't speak for him, but I'm not sure if he did that so people would focus on the character more, or it was that character.
I mean,
like you said, he's a cop that couldn't make it onto the force, right? If he shows up as Cobra, or if he shows up as, Rambo in the physique, and they're why couldn't he make it?
It wouldn't have made sense. I mean, especially with it being the way the film was, where he was kind of like the secondary cop in Copland, so to speak. Yeah. And he wasn't he's not going to go after all these guys. Look at him.
Yeah.
Can't hear out of one ear, and he's, you know, he's out of shape. And he, yeah, like you said, if he came in there all ripped, and you're expecting him to do it. So
yeah.
Absolutely, they did it like that to take away from the stigma of the cop.
Yeah, that's right. But the
acting speaks for itself.
Yeah, I really think he should have gotten something for that role. And I'm not just being biased. It's just anybody, it's like the Tulsa King. Even if you're not a huge Stallone fan, you watch that movie, you're not going to be able to tell me that wasn't any good. Like, I mean, it's just a phenomenal movie, right? And, that, and then the supporting cast, with everybody in it. It's just
agreed. I mean, like you said, the acting chops came out, and he knows how to act. He's leads us to number 16, which in Balboa is the keep moving forward speech.
Yeah.
Where I can't even tell you how many times I've watched that scene.
No, that's right.
Supposedly this scene was written based on an actual conversation he had with his son, his real son. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but that's what I read. And he took bits and pieces of that speech that he had with his son and put it in the film because it was applicable to that role. But when you watch him deliver that speech, you can't tell me he's not a good actor. He's not just the action star. I'm sorry. And again, not being biased because I'm a fan of his. It is what it is. That speaks for itself.
Yeah. No, it was just, I mean, everybody kind of relates to that scene from Balboa. Not that the movie isn't great, but there's that particular speech that really grabs you. And I agree.
Yeah. So moving along to number 15, him and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis decide, you know what? Let's get a burger joint where everybody can go hang out and look at memorabilia.
Yeah.
Planet Hollywood was born.
Yeah.
And that in the 90s, and they were everywhere. They were in every big city, every tourist destination. Sly and Arnold and Bruce Willis made the rounds of going to every grand opening that they were around in.
Yeah.
And they did well for a long time. They did well for a while.
That's right. And I mean, I know there's not, it's not like it was in their heyday, but they're still around, right? They're still.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I know them around. Obviously there's the one in Orlando that's over here by me. There's, I believe the one in Tokyo or Paris, somewhere in Europe. I don't remember where. It might be Paris.
Yeah.
I don't recall, but I know there, but there's not many. No, but they still have the memorabilia and the real costumes and the real signatures. And so
it's, and it's not only just those three. It's all kind of, it was back in the day and still it was all kinds of movie stars, right? Like there's Tom Cruise's flight suit and.
Oh, inside the, it wasn't just those guys' memorabilia. No, it was Batman's suit or Tom Cruise's jacket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Hollywood, Planet Hollywood.
Anybody, I was in the one in Orlando, and I mean, they even had the Wayne's World guitar, right? So, it was great. And they had the Judge Dredd statue and the Terminator. And I know my kids were like, oh my God, we're never going to get dad out of here. But, it was really cool.
Number 14 was a nice honor. I mean, not a lot of people could say they carried an Olympic torch.
No, that's right.
I definitely think, up on his list. I would say that one of his most special moments in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just to be a part of that, right. And, to represent the athletes and to have him, be a torchbearer and.
Sure.
Just an amazing accomplishment for anybody, whether you're an action star or not.
Yeah, agreed. No, agreed 100%. And number 13 goes to show you how much of an impact the Rocky movies had on the world, on pop culture, on the sport of boxing.
Yeah.
Because he was inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, all the boxers, the real life boxers, you know, they've all, you know, who doesn't like Rocky, right? And they all reference Rocky and he's welcome as one of their own, right? For the contributions that he's made to the sport. Even though, you know, and I agree with him, he says Rocky is not a boxing movie, Rocky, the very first one, but what he's done for the sport of boxing and, you know, and that's, you know, some of the movies with Tommy Morrison and with I'm drawing a blank here for Rocky Balboa. Tarver, he's had the real, you know, and he's had Joe Lewis, and he's had some of the real boxers. Mike Tyson's made appearances.
Joe Frazier was in Rocky.
Yep.
I mean, so yeah, he definitely pays homage to it, and he pays respect to it.
Sure,
that's right. He knows firsthand. Now, regardless of his actual boxing skills,
yeah,
he knows firsthand what it takes to train as a boxer.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. Some of those guys could take some lessons from him too, maybe.
Agreed. And that's why I think that they respect what he did.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal that he did that. Number 12, again, a lot of people could say they've been in a lot of movies, mm-hmm. but 78 films.
Yeah.
Is a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like these guys are making a film a week. It's not a TV show.
No.
He's been around a long time. It's almost one per year for his life.
Not just like he was in the movie. He gets a credit. He was starring in it or co-starring in it.
Yeah.
Right.
He was the farm in the park. I mean, so,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, we joke. There's been some of them that haven't been as good. And even, you know, he might say that himself. But there's, you know, they're fun. There's still some fun movies like Rhinestone and Stop from a Moment Shoot. Look,
they can't all be home runs.
So that's right.
We'll take what we can get.
Sure.
After that is number 11. We have the infamous Arnold and Sly rivalry.
Yeah.
That happened in the 80s and the 90s, mm-hmm. which is legendary on what they did to each other. And they truly didn't like each other. They did not really care for each other back then. They somehow came out of that though and became, you know, hey, look, what are we doing? Why are we going against each other? And realized it was more similar than we thought.
We touched on that, right? They had this rivalry, but they were smart enough to go into business together with the Planet Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
And eventually, as they got older, they thought, well, maybe we just work together. Maybe the best way to compete with each other is to be on screen with each other. So it took a while, but they figured it out. And your good friends. You bug each other and you joke each other. And if we didn't like you, we wouldn't bug you. So
Exactly.
It's just a couple of guys that happen to be multi-million dollar action stars.
Known all over the world. But,
that's right.
But yeah, that's, and then of course you have number 10 where the Expendable franchise and Arnold was, finally in a film with him.
Right.
With the big action guys and the big action stars. And again, now this one is the complete polar opposite of some of those acting films we were talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
In here is just blow them up, beat them up, have fun.
Yeah, there's not a lot of
testosterone, bullets.
I'm going to go to the movies and I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to watch the shit get blown up.
Exactly. And enjoy it.
Yeah. And I, you know what? I love them. I love them. I'm excited that they're going to do another one. It's just because they bring that cast together and all the old boys club they really know how to, I know there's more CGI involved in it now, but, they're still blowing stuff up and I love it.
It's awesome. Now for the next five, we did kind of cheat a little bit because we were kind of
obviously, we got
drawing a little, I don't want to say a blank, but it was kind of tough to not limit what we were talking about. So Tim and I decided to do our top five favorite Sly characters.
Yep.
In the next five spots. So slot 98765 are our five characters that we like.
Yeah. So number five, who do you got coming in number five for you?
I have Gabe from Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
In number five. I that's one of my favorite movies that he did outside of
not only a great movie, but how about the opening, right? No one goes to a movie and expects in the first 5 minutes that it's going to open like that, right?
No, that was like, awesome. But that's
if you were late coming in with your popcorn, Jesus,
yeah,
you might as well have left.
Yeah.
Because the audience, you're looking at your friend in the seat and he or she is white as a ghost and you're like, what did I miss? What did you miss?
Just leave and come back for the next
show. Yeah, you might as well come back for the late show.
So who did you have for number five?
So number five, I have, Lincoln Hawk. I know it's a fun character, but over the top. I mean, I absolutely love it. I can put it on any day and watch it. Just one of those things where it's just a great movie and I love that character.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. My number four character was Frank Leone from Lockup.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
It was definitely one of my favorite films that he did outside of the obvious.
Yeah.
But I liked his character in that film. I liked how chill he was. I liked that he was working on the car and mm-hmm. football scene and all. But yeah, it was good. I liked that.
No, that was good. So number four for me is Barney Ross. And we just talked about the Expendables. I know that's kind of a shallow character, but it's like I said, the one thing that drew me to Sly when I was younger was just the action, right? The sheer action and a little bit of cheap comedy, but one-liners and I really like the franchise and I'm sure I could probably, people are thinking you could pick a better character than that, but movies entertain us and I watch movies to be entertained and
that's right.
Take your mind off things and you put an Expendable movies on and it's just because I don't know if it's because it's the franchise, like, you know, you get to see the character more and more. It's just the more you get into the Barney Ross, the more I like him. So I put him on my list.
Good stuff. Well, number three, I went completely outside the box and we were talking about Freddy from Copland earlier. Yeah. I really enjoyed that character. I liked how many layers he had to him. I liked that he was, I don't want to say like Rocky because, but in some of the ways like where he was just like, you know, he could probably kill half the bar there with his bare hands, but he was just playing pinball with flip flops on.
Yeah.
And I liked the character. I liked that he saved that girl and it just mm-hmm. had a lot of heart to that character. I like that.
Yeah. No, you're right. And that's a great character. I mean, it's funny. This five characters we could pick.
That's tough.
We could do it over and like five different lists of five different characters, right? But
yeah,
I agree. That's a great character. My number three again is probably not a lot of thought into it is Marion Cobretti. I loved his role in Cobra. It just the look, you know, when he gets out with the matchstick in the mouth and the glasses, with the Ray-Bans on, just a tough bastard. Like, like I said, it was back then, like I was a teenager when these come out and it just to see these movies, like I said, I just, that's what they are to me. It's great entertainment and I'm sure my characters are, people think, oh my goodness, he's done so much better. But if you don't like Cobra.
Again, did you like it? Were you entertained by it? Did you enjoy it? That's all that matters.
Yeah. And I wish, I almost wish that there was another Cobra. You know what I mean? Like, that's like another character that had more layers, I think, that we were just scratching the surface.
So. Yeah, I agree. Well, number two, I'm going to go with his second most known for role, which was John Rambo.
Right.
And definitely more in First Blood than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the rest of the films.
Yep.
But I really, really liked him in First Blood.
Sure. Well, you know what? And I agree. Number two is Rambo. First Blood was awesome. And it just, as the character evolved.
Right.
And we saw him more and more. It's just a great character, right? Like it's obviously the number two character for both of us.
So. Yeah. It's a no brainer. Who's number one for both of us. So it's, you know, the man has been around for almost 50 years now. Mm-hmm. Rocky Balboa is, I can't say enough about him. That character is one of the most perfectly written characters I've ever seen on film.
Yeah. He almost has the feel that you're going to bump into Rocky one day. Like if you're in Philly or if you're at, you know, Victor Cafe, which is Adrian in the movies, a gym, he, when you watch that character, you almost feel like you're going to see him on the street bouncing that ball.
Yeah.
Hey, Rock. Hey, yo. And he just, you know.
And, you know, that's what made the character so lovable. Not only was he an underdog and you wanted him to win, but there was nothing in all the films. There was nothing you hated about him. Even when he was at his cocky materialistic stage in Rocky III, you did not like the guy. You didn't root for him. You didn't want him. You felt that if you saw him, like you said, you'd be like, hey, Rock, how you doing?
Yeah. So, and you know what? There's movies, like you said, you go to a movie and it's like, that's a pretty good movie. The Rocky franchise, it's not a movie, right? It's just kind of a, It's a story. It's a story. And,
a very long story.
Yeah. And it's a story that can, you know, we hope there's more. There's more to the story. I think there is more to the story.
Yeah.
I think we're all waiting for, you know, the fight that's outside the ring right now that gets settled and that we get a prequel.
Yeah.
You know, I think we
hope so.
We all need that.
Well, now it brings us to number four on the top 25 Sly's accomplishments, which is Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why we split that away from the other Rocky films, and we did not include the other Rocky films on here as far as 2 to 5, was because this one here was almost, if not harder to make than Rocky was.
Yeah. And
he was, you know, he wasn't at his height of fame too much anymore. They kind of, the studios were kind of like, how many, you know, what are you going to do? Fight in a wheelchair next? And what's going on?
Yeah. I find it amazing that he wrote it, directed it, right? Produced it. And he still had a hard time selling it to the studios. Like, you think after what he's done.
Yeah.
He walks in the door. What are we shooting? That's the question you get.
Yeah.
That the executive would be like, what do you got? Like the fact that he had to go to those lengths to get that movie. And then I'd like to go back and look at the same people that didn't want to do the movie and go, what do you think now? Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, it was 30 years after Rocky. It was in 2006. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it was, you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, come on. But still, he's been a proven star, a proven box office commodity. Mm-hmm. And, but I'm glad he got it done. I'm glad whoever saw that, let's put this on film, made that decision, because that's my second favorite Rocky.
Right. So
I love it. I love it. Number three on the list was the Rambo franchise, which went from First Blood all the way to Last Blood.
Yeah. And everything in between.
Yeah. A lot of bodies and a lot of bullets and a lot of.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that was another character that got introduced in 82. Wow. Right. Like you just, when you think he's pulled off Rocky and he's done Rocky II, and then you thought now he's got Rambo, like, and First Blood was obviously, it was the best of the franchise. The other ones were just fun, run and gun, but, for him to bring that character out, amazing. Right. So
we
touched on that as well. So did we talk about the three franchises? But there's two, right? There's two leads.
Well,
right?
I mean, we can absolutely right now. I mean, you got, you know, the Rocky franchise and Rambo franchise, like, you know, and then of course the Expendable franchise, which isn't as lengthy as the other two.
No,
but still, I mean, this is going to be the fourth one coming out next year.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody has three different characters in three different franchises that are that big, right? So
if you count the Mission Impossible movies, Tom Cruise has that length. But again, Mission Impossible, what he didn't create.
No.
It was an old TV show.
No, that's right.
Back to the Future had three films. Some Batmans are all over the place. There's nothing that the same person, the same character.
That's right.
For 10 years. Listen to me. What am I saying? 10 years, 40 years, 50 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty impressive that he has three franchises like that.
Well, that's it. Right. And then you've got like, and then three successful and great. Like, you know, it wasn't like, obviously, Rocky's great and Rambo's great. And it wasn't like Expendables is terrible. Like I said, and he was writing those and directing them. And and we've touched on that in this list, right? Like he's got his hands all over these franchises.
And which number two is why he got what he got for number two, where he won the Oscar for Rocky. That film, best picture. Well-deserved best picture. And he did not win for the actor, but I mean, or writer, but best picture. Come on. It's just crazy. And to imagine that your first film, you stand your guns and you say, not only am I going to star in it, but you're not taking this movie from me.
No, that's right.
And then you win the Oscar for best picture. I mean, the whole story behind making Rocky was Rocky.
Yeah. That's right.
He's the underdog coming out of nowhere, no name actor winning best picture.
There's been talk about a documentary on Netflix with Stallone that he's involved in. And I certainly hope they touch on this. I know they will. Like you said, that's a movie in itself, right? Like the making of Rocky or the struggle or it just that what he had to go through to get this movie made. And not only that, like he says, this is my script and it's a package deal.
Right. Which leads us to the number one item that he has accomplished in his career, which is no secret to anybody or no surprise, I should say, to anybody, but it was Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
His whole life was a million to one shot, and that was him.
Yeah.
It was his whole, I mean, to have no money and to be offered the kind of money he was offered. And you know how the story goes. You hear it was 300 grand, you hear it was 200 grand, you hear, look, the bottom line is the man had like 100 bucks. 50 bucks, whatever he had.
Sold his dog.
Sell his dog. Mm-hmm. To be offered that kind of money where in 1975, you convert that 200, 300,000 to today's money, which is probably 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to have the nerve and the guts and the courage to stand it up, no. And when I posted something on my Instagram the other day when they asked him about it, and he said that it wasn't the money, because obviously the money would have been good.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that if it went on to be successful and he gave it away, it would eat him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And it's a great little interview that I posted where he talks about it, how it would bother him for the rest of his life if it went on to become what, you know, not what he wanted it to be, but to be famous, not famous, be as good as it's going to be, good film. It's easy for us to sit here and say it would have never done as well if he wasn't a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe that there's no way it would have been as good as if he did it. But I mean, they were jumping out of vans to film scenes. They didn't have permits. They had costume changes because they were buying fedoras down the street for $2.
Yeah. It
becomes an iconic piece of movie history.
At the Stallone shop.
It's exactly. You can go get yours now.
Little cheap plug there.
But it's just incredible. It's a credible story. It's incredible history of film that this man literally was rags to riches overnight. So
well-earned. You know what? And it deserves, like you said, everything you just said about it deserves an Oscar though. And 28 days he wrote that movie. 28 days, right?
How crazy is that?
That's what he's joked about. Like, you know, and I can't remember the length, but they only had 3 weeks or something to film it.
It was very small. I think, 3 weeks. I know it was under, I think it was under a month.
Yeah. But it's like, I can't imagine, like, you know, now they're doing movies 6 months and they got all the CGI and all the editing.
But that's why they're taking so long. Yeah. They have all the CGI, they have all this and that. But I mean, when you got a film like that, that was I don't want to say cheap makeup, but I mean, it wasn't like today's makeup. Let's face facts. And to get, I mean, he was nominated for original screenplay.
Right.
Talia Shire was nominated for Adrian. Burgess Meredith was nominated for Mickey. Burt Young was nominated for Paulie. Sylvester Stallone was nominated for Rocky.
Yeah.
John Alvinson for Best Director. Best Picture, of course. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You couldn't get more perfect.
Yeah. Friends, yourself included, down in the States just celebrated Thanksgiving. And, I mean, that iconic scene with Polly throwing the turkey out in the alley, right? So like, it's just a great movie. Like there's so many things going on in that. Like he's working, you know, down on luck. Boxer working for the loan shark. I mean, we all know the story, but it's just a great movie. Like anytime you can put that movie on, if it's on TV, you're going to stop and watch it. You're going to watch a few minutes of it, even if you don't watch it all or you're watching it halfway through or.
No, there are certain movies. There are certain films that are going to be around forever, forever for the history of life. You know, Godfather and those types of films of that nature. Rocky's one of them for so many reasons. How it was written, how it was filmed, how it was done, acting, all the above. It'll be in film schools. It'll be taught. It's an amazing film. And for this many years later, it's still relevant and still inspiring people.
Yeah.
Still inspiring me. I mean, that's the thing I sometimes have. I don't want to say I have a hard time believing, but it still amazes me that after all this time, I was 10 years old when that movie came out, 46 years later, I still watch it and get inspired. I still watch it and smile. I still watch it and get motivated. It's and I'm not alone, as you know. You do it too.
Yeah.
I mean, millions of Rocky fans. But it's just, it goes to show you how amazing that is, that it's this many times and it still does that to you.
Yeah. I don't want to say it feels like the first time you're watching it, but sometimes you get into it and you just get into it, right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, this is a great movie. I always love the story about Carl Weathers, that, you know, he's in the ring with Rocky. He doesn't know who Sly is. He has no idea. He just thinks he's an actor. And he says, well, show me the script. And they start going back and forth and doing the lines. And he's like, well, if you give me the better actor, the guy who's going to play Rocky, maybe this will go a little bit better. And he doesn't realize that Sly is Rocky. No,
and that is it's a true story, because Carl said it when Sophia and I went up to Philly to meet him. He was at a Q&A and he told that story.
Yeah.
He said, I stood up and said, well, if you got me a real actor, I could probably do better for this scene.
Yeah.
You know,
and then he's realizing that he's the guy.
And Sly knew. Yeah. Sly's like, this guy's perfect. He's Apollo. Yeah,
this is Apollo Creed. Like, you know, Apollo Creed, you know, we didn't find him. Apollo Creed found us, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. So, but top 25 Sly moments in his career is amazing. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch some things you haven't seen in a while. Go back and watch some things you have never seen, maybe, some of the younger people out there.
Right.
And like somebody like me, I can't understand how you cannot see certain movies.
Yeah.
But I tend to forget these movies are very old. And some of these kids are very young.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you grow up in a household like me where my daughters were raised on Rocky, you don't see it all the time, so they don't know it.
Yeah.
But yeah, go see them. Go check them out. They're worth the hype. Mm-hmm. His career is worth the hype.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing time. Good stuff, my friend.
Speaking of amazing time, I want to touch on the fact that 25 is a greater number than days left than what you have in store for yourself.
20, yeah. Oh, much greater number.
Right. So
much greater number.
The countdown is on, right? So
it is 10 days from tonight. Well, tomorrow, 10 days from tomorrow. So December 10th. Saturday, next Saturday, not this coming Saturday.
Right. Yeah.
I'll be there in and Myth the Legend. So,
well, I'm surprised you're not on that poster with us by now. Right. So,
That they called me. I was busy though.
It'd be an experience with Tony C and the Stallion. Yeah. So,
no, I'm going to do as much as possible. I'm going to be running my battery low on my phone every minute I can to get Rocky pictures and videos and Sly stuff.
Take one of those phone charger, the banks with you, and stick it in your pocket.
You laugh. I just bought one.
Did you? Yeah. Because
I
certainly don't want to get anywhere in the 3 or 4 days that you're in California and run out of battery. That's the worst thing that could happen.
Especially when I'm there that night. I'm charging. I'm fully charged when I walk into that place that night.
I will
post as much as possible. I'll send to you a lot of stuff to put on Round 14 Instagram, and of course we'll have another show where we will break it down, discuss it, and then
afterwards I'm sorry, people, but you're going to get a full show of the recap, because I don't care. This is a huge accomplishment. This is a huge moment, and I'm happy for you. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to do. It can't be taken. Can't be taking this for granted, for sure. You know, Rocky's going to live forever. I'd like Sly too, but you know, he's getting older. So it's
You
know, it's great that you're doing this. And it's great that he's still relevant, like, you know, Tulsa King and possible Rocky, Rocky prequels. So
yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. Like I said, it really hasn't sunk in and hit yet, but it will obviously once I'm there and I'm really getting ready to go. But good stuff, my friend. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this was great. And you can catch up on all our episodes on YouTube, on Round 14 Podcasts. Look us up on YouTube. Of course, we have the Instagram page. We're also on the network, the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network. Some great podcasts on there. We're happy to be a part of it. And we were asked to join that a little while ago. And you can listen to our episodes. You can download them and take them with you in the car or take them with you to the gym.
Yep.
And this was fun. Always great talking, Sly.
Always a good time.
So thank you very much, everyone. And Tony, we'll see you next week.
See you next week, guys. Thanks for watching.
All right. See you, guys.